All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. It's a blessing to be here with you again. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for all that you do for us. Thank you for Jesus, Lord, and we thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you give. Lord, that we can be what you want us to be. Lord, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father, as we open your word. Help us, Lord, to have ears to hear and eyes to see, Father. And Lord, I pray that you would encourage us, Father, and give us strength, Father, to be faithful. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's open our Bibles. Just to Matthew chapter 1. You'll notice the first 17 verses. In this are the record of the genealogy of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And then it goes and tells that Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. And then it goes on and tells his whole genealogy. And then it comes to verse 18. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother, Mary, had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which translated means 'God with us.'" What I want to talk about this morning is about the Bible, for one thing. It's divided into an Old Testament and a New Testament. And what I want to do is try to show us, to reconcile the differences between those two testaments. We notice that the New Testament, the very beginning, is showing the genealogies of Jesus, where he came from. And it goes all through the Old Testament. And the purpose of that is the purpose of the Old Testament. You know, one of the things that we come in have problems with today whenever we talk about the gospel, and we tell people that what Jesus says in the gospel matters. You know, he said that if you have ears to hear, you'll hear my words, you'll hear me. And it's not he that saith I know him, but he that does the things that I teach you. And we have the gospel of Jesus and how the things that he taught in the gospel. You know, one of them is non-resistance, that we don't resist evil. And whenever we begin to teach that Jesus told us to love our enemies and to do good to those that hate us and to overcome evil with good. And, you know, the first thing we hear a lot of times is people defending going to war or killing someone to defend ourselves. And, you know, then they use the Old Testament to show us that Well, they went to war in the Bible. And they killed people in the Bible. And they even put people to death in the Bible, in the Old Testament. And there's confusion a lot of times about how to the point where there's a idea or a thought that's out that the God of the Old Testament was a mean, cruel God demanding justice on every turn. And then the God of the New Testament is the God of love. And people have a hard time, you know, with how is this? What happened? What changed? And one of the things that we've been able to understand and to learn, and it's difficult looking through history to find out, you know, that the transition that's there, you know, it's a lot of times it's hard to find that. But one of the things that's helped me to reconcile the two Gospels is to see that the purpose of the people in the Old Testament, God's people, their purpose was to preserve the seed that brings us Christ. And that's the very beginning of this gospel. This in Matthew and in another gospel it gives the genealogy. But in this gospel it shows from Abraham, when God promised to Abraham, and even further back to get... You get into, Adam and Eve, and God promises that He will send a deliverer that will crush the head of the serpent. But the genealogy starts here in Abraham, where God promised that He, through His seed, would preserve, that He would send a seed, a deliverer. And it goes all through these different people throughout hundreds of years, and it gets to where Mary is there, and she comes with child, and not just a child like every normal else. She was a virgin. She'd never been with a man. She was engaged to Joseph, and she came up with expecting, and everyone was shocked, and even Joseph thought, you know, that she had not been faithful to Him. And so he, it says, being a righteous man, was willing to put her away quietly, privately, secretly. But the Lord spoke to him and said that this birth was of God. And that's where it says that whenever he shall be called Emmanuel, that is to say, God with us. This is a complete new thing. And the only way that that could happen was because this seed of Abraham had been preserved throughout history. And when you look at the Old Testament and read it, you know, there's a lot of confusion sometimes whenever you try to put the two together. But you see the underlying principles that God has for us all through the Old Testament of how we're to love God with all our heart, and we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. That's not something that just pops up in the New Testament. It's all there. This underlying thought of being what we need to be. You know, we see men and women in the Old Testament and the whole book of Hebrews at book 11. Where it talks about the faith chapter. You see what these people in the Old Testament, you know, some say, well, why even read the Old Testament, you know, if it doesn't apply to us? You can see the heart of God in the Old Testament. Whenever the God is showing us people through there that have faith, that have courage, that are dedicated to the Lord, that are good people, that are godly people, all the way through. It's there. Then we also see the purpose of Satan in the Old Testament. The reason that he was, you know, you think, well, why was he so against? And why was he so devoted to getting rid of God's people? It seemed like that the purpose of Satan and all of that was to destroy the children of Israel. And that's, they tried over and over again. I mean, you just see it over and over, how they would be doing well and then they'd fall away. And you'd see that that Satan was looking for a way to, you see in their battles, how that they were trying to be destroyed. And the purpose of this is so that he can stop this seed from being born. He can stop the promises of God in Abraham from delivering the Savior, the Messiah, God with us. He's trying to stop all of that. You know, when Jesus came, he came to set his people free from their sin. That was something that was new in the Old Testament. It didn't happen. You know, they were forgiven. They would have to offer sacrifices. They would do all these things just to appease or to get by. Just to have to keep from being put to death themselves. Because sin, it controls people. And there was no remedy. There was no deliverance. That's why even the Old Testament, it talks about their children, if they're a rebellious child, to stone them, to keep them from what they would have done was wound up trying to destroy their own people. So God set Israel apart, made them different, completely different. And so the other nations around them, as they fell into sin and corruption, they rose up and they were destroyed. They would destroy themselves in evil. And it was a corrupting influence. And so that's why God had people put to death. That's why there were serious punishments for sin in the Old Testament, because there was no remedy for it. And if it was left unchecked, it would just corrupt the whole thing. And so God set up these different laws to preserve the children of Israel, to preserve the seed that God was trying to bring into the world so that he could deliver all mankind. You know, whenever we look at that, we can see the differences. We can see the purpose of what God had intended in the Old Testament. And we can see the way to live now. When Jesus came into the world, he came to set his people free from their sin. He came to give us the power and the strength to overcome. We can be set free. You know, we hear of people today that maybe quit smoking, or people that quit all kinds of bad habits. Maybe they quit drugs. They get over them. The only reason they can do that is because Jesus died. Whether they go on to bring glory to God for that or not, the purpose of that is, the reason they can do that is because Jesus died for their sins and he overcame. That didn't happen in the Old Testament. It just got worse and worse and worse. And that's the purpose of him coming. The reason that it came. And like I said, in the Old Testament, they didn't have that. So they had to, whenever a nation, when God would say, go destroy that nation, it was because that nation had become so corrupt that the only thing it would ever be able to accomplish was to expand that corruption to the children of Israel. So God said, you know, in places he said, kill every one of them. Sounds awful. You know, it's one of the, you know, if we think about violent things or violent thoughts, some of those things are as violent as anyone could ever imagine that would happen. But it wasn't because God was bloodthirsty. It wasn't because God didn't love them. He loved mankind enough that he had to send his people to go do those hard and bad things to people. All for the purpose of preserving this precious line of promise that he had told Abraham so that Jesus could come. That's why there's a distinction between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Doesn't mean that the Old Testament doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't mean that it's false. All it means is that time until Jesus came, there is a transition in this world. Something different has happened to the world. So much so that, you know, you look at calendars, and the calendars even changed during that time. It was a whole new world. The kingdom of God had come into this earth. Before, they were looking forward to it, hoping for it. But when Jesus came and established the church, the purpose of that church is to be the kingdom of God on this earth. That's what the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God, whenever we hear the story or the thought of the kingdom of God, is the kingdom of God is being able to dwell in mankind right here in the midst of this corrupt world. The kingdom of God is not heaven. That's a whole different place. That's heaven. That's where we go to be with God. The kingdom of God is now. It's right here. And I think this is one of the big faults of Christianity, is we've got the kingdom of God. Oh, I'll be better whenever I die. You know, I heard one time, a long time ago, a man said, you know, he was talking about people that they would be, whenever they died, they'd be transformed into something holy. And he just thought, you know, well, what's going to change you? The worms that eat your body? What's going to change you? The whole purpose of repentance. The whole purpose of repentance is God saying, you need to change now. Today is the day of salvation. Not just some glorious thing that comes upon you that now God doesn't see me anymore and I'm just saved and I'm going to heaven no matter what because I believe Jesus died. That's not the gospel. The gospel is a life-changing. I used to be this way and now I'm going this way. I used to be all for me and in the world. But I came to a place where I met Jesus. And just like the man who rose up, left all and followed him, he became a new creature. He turned from the kingdom of this world, the Old Testament. Now he's part of the kingdom of God, the New Testament, the kingdom of God. Jesus came to usher in his kingdom right now. You know, and when people have God in their heart and they take on the characteristics of God and the blessedness of his, the promises that he's given to those people, they live different. They live in a complete, they do a lot of, they work just everybody like everybody else. They do a lot of, they have the same struggles, they have problems, but they have the kingdom of God. It's different. Just like people in the Old Testament, they had struggles, they had problems, the good and the bad, the righteous. In one place it says it rains on the just and the unjust. All that happens. But there's a direction that we're going. Instead of being caught up in the world, just like the non-resistance, you know, most of the time if someone slaps you on the face, what's your first reaction? Well, I've just got to slap them back. Somebody does me wrong, I got to fix it. That's the natural reaction. But Christ, when he came, He came to bring the kingdom of God to lift us above this world and the normal reactions so that we are lifted above. You know, whenever someone slaps you on the face and you turn the other cheek, you've defeated evil without ever having to raise a fist against it. Our battle is not with flesh and blood. We're fighting a spiritual battle. We're wrestling principalities and powers all around us in this world. And they're set about to defeat us. And their goal, their purpose, is to bring us into the fight that they would have us in. The saints of the Old Testament fought to preserve that seed to come into this world, so that you and I could fight a higher battle to be a part of the kingdom of God. We don't have to take a sword or a gun or whatever to overcome our enemies. We overcome our enemies by God's power. You know, whenever two people are in a war or in a battle, fighting with each other, no matter who comes out on top or who remains standing, both of you have been in the battle, and both of you are part of this lower world. No matter how righteous your cause, no matter how good your cause, you're still not fighting, you're not wrestling, you're fighting with flesh and blood. You're not fighting with the principalities and powers to overcome those things. God's kingdom is a kingdom that overcomes. And I'm not saying you never mess up, you're perfect forever, but you're on a different plane. When you fall down, you get back up. You don't just succumb to these lower things. All of the things that happened had to happen. You know, we see the life of Jesus. And we're just, you know, if you see it for the first time, you're just hoping, just like his disciples did, hoping that, oh, he's just going to overcome and win this battle in the flesh. And they won't put him to death. They were looking for a kingdom like that, one that had power and dominion over all of everybody else. That's what they were looking for. And they were just rooting for Jesus. You know, whenever you see a film or a movie or something, and you're the underdog, and they're just getting beat up and beat up and beat up, and you're just ready for them to just stand up and win the battle, you know. Well, the disciples were thinking the same thing about Jesus. Oh, he just gets defeated. And they've hauled him off to the court. And now he's in front of the judges, and they're getting ready to, now he's in jail and they're beating him, and you're just ready any minute for him just to take off in his Superman outfit and just whip them all. Then he goes to the cross and he's put to death. And most of them think it's over, even though he told them that it wasn't over. And then the third day he rose. And even then, some of them didn't want to believe it, but they did. They saw that he overcame. That's how he won. And now he's given an example that that's how we win. That our battle is not just what we see. And all those bad things had to happen so that he could rise from the dead. You know, we look around the world today and we see how bad corruption corrupts. We see how powerful evil becomes. How men's minds become so taken over with evil that the only thing that they can think of is to destroy good. We see that today. You know, I've found a little book that a man wrote 50 years ago whenever I grew up, and that's all I heard about was prophecy. And how all things were going to happen, the Antichrist, and I never dreamed. That's what they preached about almost every Sunday in the church I grew up. the revelation and prophecy and all of those things. They have whole college courses and still do about prophecy. But I found a little book that was written 50 years ago, and it was about prophecy, and it's got all the illustrations of how the people will rise and the battles and the kingdoms, or the kingdoms rise and the Antichrist comes up. And it has nothing, you can't see a thing in there about what's happening today. Whenever we see, never would have dreamed back then that the world would be in the state it is today. You know, all of that prophecy, all of that stuff, and that was the thing, you know. But I couldn't even imagine how people are deceived. Their eyes are closed. They believe the craziest things. And I never would have associated that with prophecy or what was supposed to be happening now, that we would be able to see clearly, you know, these things rising up. You know, that's the way it was portrayed. And then Jesus is going to come all of a sudden and just fix it all. And then to see what's going on today. But the kingdom is still here, if we still remain faithful to it. The kingdom is still just as true today as it ever has been, if we stay faithful to it. You know, we can get caught up and confused and disagree about all of the things, but Jesus is looking for those who are watching and waiting. You know, one of the things, you know, people try to get you into the argument of debating all of those things. You know, if we're where we're supposed to be, it doesn't matter what the future holds. If where we're supposed to be today, if we're doing what we're supposed to be doing today, we'll be prepared whenever those things come upon us. We're already in the middle of it. And we can get all discouraged about it but you know, all these things have to happen before Jesus returns. All of the things that are going on today, God knows about. He's right in the middle of it. He sees it all happening. We can stay on God's side. You know, we don't have our side. We can just hope to be on God's side, because He's the side that'll win. And like I said, our battle's not with flesh and blood. Our battle's with not what's going on in the world, in the physical sense. Our battle's not with people. Our biggest battle's with ourselves. Am I going to get sucked into deceived? Am I going to let fear? Am I going to let all these things open the door to me being swept away with the rest of the world? Or am I going to see that this is all just part of it? And I'm going to be a part of the kingdom of God right now. The only way we maintain the kingdom of God tomorrow, you know, we can set up rules, we can set up all kinds of things to seemingly force or lock that down for us. The only way we're going to be faithful tomorrow is to be faithful today and take the step that's right in front of us. Jesus came to bring His kingdom. The whole purpose of the old was to usher in Jesus, to bring us Jesus. And we can look back and read, and we can see those glorious stories of those men that were faithful in their time. And one of these days we can look back and we'll see who was faithful in our time. It was just as confusing to them at times as it is to us. But we have the opportunity to be what we're supposed to be right now. May the Lord add His blessings. Anyone have anything you'd like to share? All right, well, Lord willing, we'll meet back this evening. Probably planning on, they're going to find out today about the funeral. I'm probably going to try to go, some others maybe go. But if it's tomorrow, they're wanting to maybe try to have it tomorrow, so we may leave this afternoon or something. If we kind of wait till we hear, but. It'll be a quick thing, so anyway. Otherwise, we'll plan on being here this evening. I guess some of us will anyway, so. God bless y'all. Depart in peace.